Sun Gamers Podcast. I'm your boy, Buttered Biscuits. And joining me tonight, as always, is the sniper among snipers, Phantom Recon, a.k.a. Rico.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back.
And also mixing spells and stealing your girls, Shadow Alchemist X, a.k.a. Jose.
Oh, man, nice. I like that one.
Nice. And the ever suave and the ever amazing Ale Tacomo.
What's going on?
Oh, man. So tonight we're going to be talking about, and hopefully we're not going to get too spoilerish. I'm sure everybody's watched it already. The Last of Us on HBO Max. I'll allow me to explain. It is the adaptation of the highly successful PlayStation game, The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. The good one.
Yeah. So this of course, stars Pedro Pascal. Did I say his name right? Yeah, I said his name right this time.
Yeah.
And I can't remember her name, but she played Lady Mormont in Games of Thrones, which, ironically, both members have played in Games of Thrones. They never worked acted together, so pretty cool. They were... hope you guys checked it out. Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yeah, I only watched it last night.
Yeah, same.
So let's hop on into it. What was your take? We'll start with Rico.
Well, for me, yeah. So like, I guess I actually watched it kind of late. I wanted to watch it the first night it came out, but we were celebrating and it was playoffs, and then Monday I was going to watch it again, but the Cowboys were playing, so I didn't get to watch it. So I finally watched it last night. But I enjoyed it. Me personally, in my opinion, I liked it. It was very, very close and almost very to the T on how the video game was. And you know, I was concerned because, you know, this is a video game, adapted into a TV series or a movie. And usually those don't succeed as well, or there's not that many that do. And I feel like this one probably did it in a way that I've always expected them to do it if they were going to adapt the video game. It's basically just follow the storyline of the video game instead of, like, you know, trying to create something new or add something extra to it. But I will say this is just the first episode. I mean, things could change. I don't know. But so far, for me, I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I do like the characters that they chose. Like, I feel like everybody's playing their characters perfectly. And actually, my wife liked it too. She was surprised by it. Like, she I told her about it, and she was telling me, oh, it's based off a video game. Like, so that kind of, you know, kind of like, oh, well, threw her off. Like, oh, I don't know. But then she watched it, and the entire time she's watching, she keeps telling me, this is in the game? This is in the game? And I was like, yes. So some parts here and there, yeah. And I was like, hey, if you want, we can just stop watching this and you can just watch me play because, you know, it'll tell you the whole story. But I enjoyed it so far. It's really good. I'm looking forward to the next episodes. And I'm going to pass this football on to Nando.
Huh. All right. What a fumble. I thought it was actually really good. Like Rico said, so far it's actually really good. It's holding true to what the game is, and I do like that they elaborated more and gave more emphasis with his daughter. Like, there's more scenes with her in this one than it was in the game. Like, there was like two things that I saw that were a little off for me, just me personally. And you know, again, it's the first episode; they might elaborate more on at least one of them. And the other, we're not going to talk about the episode, right?
Oh no! We could talk about it because we've all watched it, and I guess yeah, if we're going to talk about it. Yeah, everybody, spoilers. If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it, but stop or fast forward this part of this episode real quick if you don't want to get any spoilers. And go, Nando.
Okay. It was like in the episode where he goes home, like, after, you know, a hard day's work, and he takes his painkillers and he goes to sleep. And like, whenever Tess comes in there and like kind of snuggles up with them, I always thought that their relationship was just more of a partner kind of thing and not anything romantic. And it could be just his drug trip doing that to him, because I've taken two painkillers for at a time and I just knocked right out. And he took three with alcohol, so who knows?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. That one struck me a little odd. Just like, well, that was weird because she looks like a little older than he is, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's not just that. That didn't bother me. It's just, you know, in the game, it's better that they were just partners, not really any love interest in there, because with him, given what's happened to him, he's shut off his heart from everything.
Yeah, agreed.
And like the second part was when they came across the Cordyceps body, like in that warehouse area or whatever, and it wasn't giving off spores because they usually do. And I noticed that they also didn't carry any gas mask with them, because you're supposed to whenever you go out in the wild. Like, that's what they do. They go out and like gather stuff out there to sell back into the city. That's how they make money. And whenever they went out and like to go and get like this battery or whatever, they came across that body, and I didn't see that, and I thought that was really weird, because like that's like the way, I guess, the second wave of infection happened, is that people just didn't know that through the dead bodies they could spread spores, which then infects everybody else, which is why, like, you know, the whole population of not just America but like the whole world is like, you know, I'd say around maybe 80% mortality, everyone's dead, and maybe 20% still alive.
Yeah, and I do see what you're saying, because like I noticed that too, but I guess I was approaching it as like, well, maybe they'll explain that part in, you know, in the other, because I have seen the mask being used in the trailers, so I'm kind of expecting them to explain it, or maybe not, or just, I mean, because I guess I just took it like as like they were still in this fort barricaded city. And maybe it doesn't happen as often in there, even though, yeah, there's some of the people that did, you know, we did see one that kind of like went all the way, you know, on the wall kind of thing. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. But other than that, like everyone else sitting there was actually really, oh, were you going to say Jermaine? Not Jermaine, James, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I want to say there was a reason on why there's not a lot of mass usage used. I guess they don't want to bring up, you know, like, you know, our recent pandemic of stuff, to kind of pandemic fear of having to wear masks again, which, if that's the reason, that's kind of stupid, because that was a core element in the game, is that you didn't want to get infected by spores. But I'm sure, like you guys said, I'm sure they're going to explain that. I know right now it's all kind of explained like via bite. But yeah, I was hoping more spores would be the big danger.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, this is episode one. There's 9, right, total, and they could explain more maybe with like the further infected that there are in this world, like maybe they're the ones that actually give off those spores, like what you were saying, like in the trailer that they had gas masks on. And I just like that they brought in Meryl Dradenbridge, I think is what her name is, who originally portrayed Marlene. And so like it's cool to see the voice actress and motion capture actress for this character to come back and do the live action now as Marlene. I thought that was really cool.
I knew she sounded like, I was like, damn, the version played Marlene sounds right on.
Because it is Marlene.
Shit.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really cool. I like that they did that. And I like that the show is like showing that, yeah, like the Fireflies are not technically all good, or I guess the good guys, you know, blowing shit up without any thought, really. And whenever they're called terrorists, you know, of course they get mad about it. But at the same time, when you watch what they just got through doing, like, you kind of have to make that judgment yourself.
Yeah.
I always thought they were, personally. What about you, Jermaine? What'd you think?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I enjoyed the show. I thought it was pretty good, man. I've watched it from the beginning to the end, of course, you know, and thought it was pretty good, you know. Thought the old lady was a trip, because whenever they showed her like acting weird, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm guessing she's probably one of the first infected ones there. And of course she was, because she attacked the family. But yeah, I enjoyed the show. I'm not gonna lie, the part with the daughter dies, that one hurt. It kind of made me a little teary. I was like, damn, bro, they I don't know. That one actually hit pretty hard. But But the rest of the show was good, man. I enjoyed it. I like how they brought in the little code for like 60s, 70s, and 80s music. Yeah. That was pretty cool. And I don't know. Have you guys ever watched Clerks?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The part where the girl screams, "I'm not even supposed to be here today."
Yeah.
That had me laughing because it's like one of the things they say in almost all three Clerks.
Nice.
I don't know if y'all caught that little joke.
Good old Dante Hicks. Well, kicking it back to me real quick. I'm going to say I liked it. The beginning caught me a little off guard. Like, as somebody who follows a lot of scientific stuff, like in the news and everything, that whole like talk show thing from the 60s is like, what does this have to do with anything? And then when John Hannah's character was like, what? It's like, what if fungus, you know, mutated to infect other people? Let's say the Earth got a little warmer. I'm like, oh shit, that's happening now. and it just the way they describe the cordyceps in this one is pretty cool. And I like the bite effect. I like the idea of the bite. Where it's like hanging out of their mouths, and that's how they're infecting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. The beginning, it's not really a big detail that I'm going to give away, guys. There's a scene, like right after the show opening, they have someone in for processing. You see a sign, and it has like different areas of where you're bit.
Like, I saw that.
I thought that was really cool. That was a really cool attention to detail. That, you know, if you're bit in the neck, it's like 5 to 10 minutes. Bit in the arm, like 20 to 30. You know, I thought that was a pretty cool attention to detail, especially at that point in time. They would have been like 20 years. What was it? 20 years past, and
yeah.
So yeah, they were doing a lot more research done on the losing end of things than on the winning. You know, and I loved the psych outs from the game. Like, you play the game, you remember the car wreck and everything, and how it happened differently. I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. They changed up a little bit of thing. And it was cool. That was all filmed in Austin. I didn't realize that was actually all filmed in Austin.
They filmed on location.
Yeah. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And I recognized some of those locations. Like, oh shit, that really is Austin. Good job. They did a really good job on really setting the tone. I hope they don't stick too much to the Walking Dead playbook of, you know, keeping things, you know, down and dirty. Yes, it's a post-apocalyptic world, but I hope they don't follow the Walking Dead playbook of having the threats out there and not showing them too much, you know, or having it too much drama within the camp, you know. I hope they really build organically on the whole Ellie and Joel situation. And their interactions, Joel and Ellie's interactions are perfect. Like, it was like, oh my God, this is like the game.
Yeah, you threw it when you first saw her.
Yeah. I was like, this is Joel and Ellie. I mean, they're exactly who they're supposed to be. I think Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson should be thrilled that these actors are honoring their performances, and it's spot on. I like it so far. I'm hoping things get better.
Yeah, and I do want to touch up on what Jermaine you said, because this is coming from someone who hasn't played the game, right? You haven't played the game at all?
No.
Yeah, so that first part where, you know, where the daughter dies, like, that happens in the game too. Like, that's like the first 10, 15 minutes of the game. And that hit me too. I was like, whoa. Like, just like that, out of nowhere. Like, I was not expecting that. And it happens. However, after, you know, playing the game for a while, and, you know, because I really love this game. Like, to me, I would consider this one of the greatest games of all time. I really think that set the tone for the video game the rest of the game, and probably in the TV show too, because, you know, the it starts off with, you know, the father and daughter, their connection, their relationship they have with each other, and how they have and how they're loving, and then of course, you know, the worst thing possible for any parent to happen is to lose their child, especially at such a young age. Fast forward 20 years later, you see him. That guy's he's a dead man. Like, he's just like just living off of scraps and whatever. I mean, and you first see it when they had to burn the body of that child, and he does it like with no problem, no issue, just like done, no problem. And then, you know, now he sees Ellie, and Ellie, you know, like, and of course, like, he immediately doesn't want to have nothing to do with her because he has nothing to do with kids here. I mean, you saw that. It's like his first reaction when they said, "Hey, I need you to take her with you." And he's like, "No, I don't have time for that." Like he immediately was like, "No," because he already knows like what can happen. He doesn't want that. He tries to avoid it at all costs. And Ellie's the same thing. She has nothing to do with him either. And yet they're kind of perfect for each other because they're both just more like trying to survive and stuff. And one thing I did notice too was how when Joel first kills the neighbor in front of his daughter Sarah, and Sarah was like, you know, like, whoa, shocked kind of face. And I noticed that when he started attacking that guard at the end, and Ellie sees him, Ellie is more like, okay. Like, this is the guy survival and also protecting her. Like, you can see in her face, like I don't know, it was a different expression. Like it's like night and day.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah's more the lovable, kind person, and then Ellie's more like, you know, survivor. You know, I'm willing to do what it takes to, you know, just to survive kind of thing. And
it's just like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, it's like the before and after, like, because his daughter was born before the infection and Ellie was born after. Just like the similarities between the two.
That's what I was about. That's exactly what I was about to say. I was like, that's just the life. I mean, it's like if you look at like any type of post-apocalyptic setting, like a zombie apocalypse or anything like that, you're going to wind up killing somebody. You're going to wind up killing either human, mutant, whatever, zombie, whatever the hell the threat's out there. It's either you either rise up to kill or you don't, you know, and you wind up getting killed, you know. To be killed, kill or be killed type of situation.
Yeah, exactly. And she learned that lesson.
Yeah, and I liked how I mean again to me, I'm just critiquing the show. I like that they kind of ended it that way, where like Joel kind of goes like, you know, protective instinct, because you know it does show like a flashback, the flashlight in his face. It just brought back the memories of him and his daughter, and he just went, you know, berserk mode, you know, because he probably remember the feeling of protecting his daughter. Now he's protecting Ellie because he knows it's a kid behind him, and he just went berserk mode, and he goes over there and just starts wailing at him, you know, fist to face, you know, with concrete in between, and obviously that dude's dead, and like, and I don't know, like, to me, it kind of is setting the tone for what's coming up. Like, this is what Joel would do to protect someone. You know, and at this point, he doesn't even care about her yet. He just had a quick feeling of a reminder that, hey, this could be my, what if this was Sarah kind of thing. And now, like, if he only did that for that moment, I mean, what's to come next? You know, and of course, like, you know, all of us as fathers, you know, we would do anything to protect our own kids. So I did like that ending part to it.
Yeah, so I connected so much with Joel. Like, when you take away the only thing that gave your life meaning, like, how could you ever go back to who you were? And I like that about his character, like, throughout his whole journey, and like now seeing it through with Pedro Pascal, like, you see that, like what Rico's saying, like, in his face and his expression, his demeanor, like, he just doesn't care about what's going on around him.
I really did like how they did the age up for him. I was wondering how they were going to do it, because you know how, you know, in Second to Last was, Joel's old. He's old, man. He's like an older guy in there. And
56.
Yeah.
Or 57.
And how they de-aged him in the beginning of the show, and then having them all gray, all salt and peppered and everything. They did a really good job. The makeup department did very, very well. And I got to give props. But I will give you this. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people online saying that he doesn't crouch a lot. I'm like, really? That's your big takeaway? Is he didn't crouch too much when he was trying to like keep quiet? Like, he's 57 years old. He's not going to be able to do that for very long.
It's his knees.
I still liked it. It was good, though.
Yeah. No, but, guys, I'm going to go ahead and pass down a rating on it. I'm going to give Last of Us Episode 1 an 8 out of 10. What are you guys going to give it?
Oh, I'm going to give it a 9. For me, a 9.
Solid 8 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rico on this one, say a 9. Just because I figured out the plot before they even said anything. That's one of the only things I didn't like. But other than that, when I enjoy the show, I'm going to give it a 9. Solid.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and kind of average it out. We'll give it, 8.5 for the week?
Yeah.
8.5 for the week. There you go. Episode 1. It's definitely a solid banger. Check it out on HBO Max. Next episode airs this Sunday, so get caught up. You're not too far from behind if you have not checked out The Last of Us yet.
Yeah, I'm glad like this shows everybody that you can make, well, for now, you can make a great show based off a video game, unlike Resident Evil Netflix.
Yeah.
But I ain't mad.
There was a meme about that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, just watching the first 20 minutes of this episode compared to Resident Evil, two very different shows.
I didn't even watch Resident Evil, to be honest with you. It looked bad.
You don't need to watch it, honestly.
Yeah, it's over. You're good. Yeah.
Oh, one last thing. I did like that Gustavo Santaolalla has returned as well to compose the music for the show.
Yes. I was like, oh my god, that's a song.
Yeah, it's him, man. It's awesome. I'm glad he's part of the show too.
All right, moving on. Tuesday there was a big special that was done for Hasbro Pulse, and they showed off some really cool stuff for their upcoming Power Rangers line, as well as what's coming down the pipeline for their media as well. On April 17th on Netflix, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers will be rejoining again for their 30th anniversary. And it's called Once and Always. It's bringing back the second Red Ranger, Steve Cardenas, as Rocky DeSantos. The second Pink Ranger, Catherine Sutherland's returning as Cat Hilliard. Johnny Young Bosch is coming back. Walter Jones, David Yoss as Billy. It's gonna be a really, really, really cool reunion. Barbara Goodson, the voice of Rita Repulsa from the old '90s show, is coming back. She's gonna be playing a robot Rita.
Awesome.
Alpha 5 is coming back. It's gonna be a nice little reunion. They have another girl. A new girl that's coming in. She's playing Trini's daughter, because obviously, you know, Trini passed away back in the early 2000s.
So it's a continuation.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a big threat that's happening, and it's bringing back the original Power Rangers team to answer the call. And the Once and Always is a play on the ever growing anthem of the Power Rangers, is that once you're a Ranger, always a Ranger. Entertainment Weekly had some really, really cool behind the scenes shots. There's a Green Ranger, but JC David Frank is not going to be in it. So that's going to be interesting to see who's wearing the Green Ranger helmet. And another there's just so many questions right now that a lot of the Power Rangers community is having. Who's the Green Ranger? With Zach being back, what Ranger is Adam going to be? Because he was the second Black Ranger, and it's just really cool. And not only that, some of these characters have never acted together before on Power Rangers. Johnny Young Bosch, Kieran Ashley, who played Aisha and Steve Cardenas, they never met Walter Jones because it was during that whole contract dispute. Do you remember the power exchange? When they when Jason, Zach, and Trini left to a peace conference,
yeah,
they had a transfer power. They weren't on set together ever. Those were all stand-ins.
Well, damn.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be really cool seeing how they act together. It's gonna be really, really interesting. Especially seeing Johnny Young Bosch back is awesome, because Adam's a badass ranger. If you ever followed his history, ever since In Space. But dude, I'm extremely excited for this to see where this 30th anniversary goes. I watched it; it was like full nostalgia.
And just to know, 30 years later, damn, you're old.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, it's gonna be really, really cool. And none of that, it's its own separate thing. It's not tying into one of the other TV shows that's going on right now, especially the one that's coming up called Cosmic Fury, which is a continuation of the series that's on right now, Dino Fury.
Yeah.
Does Netflix own Power Rangers? Because you're right. But I'm seeing a lot more of the Power Rangers stuff on Netflix now.
Yeah, it is a licensed deal right now between Netflix that they get exclusive rights to Dino Fury, as well as Cosmic Fury this fall. Cosmic Fury is also going to be the first time in a long time that the entire cast of the original of a series carries over for another season. Usually it's like one season and they're gone. And what's cool is except for the Zord sequences, they're using 100% U.S. footage. They're filming it. They made their own costumes. So it's not Japanese footage except for when they use their power Zords. So I'm like, okay, we're slowly getting away from the Japanese footage.
Is Austin St. John in it or no?
No, he isn't going to be in the 30th anniversary. He couldn't. It doesn't say why, but I think it had something to do with that whole legal situation he had a couple months ago. The tax, some type of tax thing with COVID funds or something. So he couldn't leave the country. Amy Jo Johnson wasn't coming back for the special. Apparently she said no to what they were offering, but she didn't say no. She wasn't going to have something to do with it or something to do with Power Rangers in general. She said there are some projects coming up according to her Twitter and stuff. So she may not be in the 30th, but she might show up in something else.
Well, I'd like to see, I guess, Zach take on the mantle of the Green Ranger. That'd be cool.
Well, a lot of the Power Rangers community, including myself, were like, ooh, what if, because Johnny Young Bosch's character, he's wearing green, like a green shirt underneath like a vest that says, that's SBA on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking that maybe he's the Green Ranger. That maybe he's somehow okay. Green Ranger power. I was like, okay. Because he was a good Ranger.
I just know back then, besides, you know, Jason, Zach was the only one that actually wore the vest of the Green Ranger.
Sadly, Jason David Frank will not have any participation in the thing. Battle of the Sun confirmed it Tuesday as well. That Jason David Frank did not record anything for the 30th anniversary, but I'm sure they're going to do some type of honoring of Jason David Frank because, you know, I mean, he was Tommy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of cool Power Rangers stuff coming down the pipeline this year for the 30th. And they're making waves on their new show. They're promoting their Pink Ranger on the new show right now, Dino Thunder. She's going to be the first female full-time Red Ranger ever in the series.
Oh, cool.
So, ladies, you can be a Red Ranger.
But it also had Power Rangers 1969, or I guess live action, right? That's what you're talking about.
Which one?
You're talking about live action Red Ranger?
Yeah.
Okay, I know a few years ago that was the Power Rangers 1969.
Series. Unfortunately, the Boom Studios stuff is not canon. I wish it was, but technically there was a full-time a one-time female Red Ranger. It was for like a one mission thing in the 60s, but that was a good read. It's in one of the volumes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers through Boom Studios. Definitely check out that comic. It's really, really good. Well, very well written for a 90s property. They modernized it up really well to where it's believable and not cheesy. It's a really good comic.
I liked it.
You should definitely check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, their crossover. Somehow they mesh really well together.
Oh man, that reminds me. What was that graphic novel you're reading, Rico, about the Ninja Turtles?
Ronin?
Yeah, okay, that's what it's called. Okay, let me go ahead and look that up.
I think they just finished it. Yeah, I actually forgot about it. I need to go and finish it.
They're doing a prequel to it, I think, later this year. So you see how the events line up to The Last Rogue. I'm like, yeah, that's what I really want to see.
Yeah, and you know, I saw the toy of it, The Last Ronin. Like, it was really cool, but it was like, what, $2,000-$3,000 for it? But no.
Oh, shoot.
I'll just look at it.
I think it's 800. I was like, man, that's a lot. But 1,000? Fuck, never mind.
Yeah, like a high-end model. I think it's too hot. I want to say it's too hot toys.
Damn, that's way too much. I mean, I guess if you got the funds for it, do it.
Yeah, it's like, I love turtles, but I don't love it that much.
That $2,000 worth.
That's a car.
Yep.
With the new year coming, 2023, what game are you looking forward to the most this year?
If they don't get delayed?
Yeah, okay. Without delays, what is your game of 2023?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I'm just looking about a month ahead right now. I'm looking at Dead Space Remake in February.
Nice. Rico?
Man, is that even a question, man? You already know this, man. It's Legend of Zelda. Shit. I'm waiting for that game to come out. I'm gonna love it. Yeah, same thing what James said. As long as there's no delays. But yes, I am looking forward to that game this year.
As soon as Rico says that, it's gonna get delayed.
Yeah, I know. Tomorrow he'll say something like, oh, delayed. Fuck.
God damn it, fuck.
Yeah.
It's Tears of a Kingdom. Okay. Yeah, I actually just got through beating Breath of the Wild a couple days ago.
Nice. Did she like it?
Oh, yeah. She loved it, man. She was all about playing it every chance she got. She was just playing it. Just exploring the world and like not actually doing like the main story.
And that's the best part. Just exploring. Yeah. Nice. Jermaine?
Man, there's a game. I cannot remember what it's called. But I saw it like, I think it was like around mid-year last year, around the summertime. But it's I don't know what it's called. It had a sign, like the video looks good, the trailer and everything looks pretty good. And but they ended up, I found another video like a day later of it. He said it's been postponed till, you know, 2023. I just can't remember what the name of the game is. I know it takes place in outer space. It's like an astronaut that he's got some kind of machine that can basically predict what happened during the location he's at.
Oh my god, I know what game you're talking about. I can't place the name either. Shit.
And I was just looking for it right now on YouTube, but I cannot find it. I can't remember what the name of it is, but that one, I'm looking forward to that one.
It actually sounds like a really cool concept. That's cool.
And I swear I thought I saved the video, but apparently I didn't.
Damn.
Yeah.
I can tell you what game we're probably not going to get in 2023. Skull and Bone.
Oh, man.
Ubisoft. Just go ahead and cancel that game.
They might as well, unless they're trying to break the record of Duke Nukem's development record. That one was 14 years. Right now, they're at 10 years with that game.
But why delay it for so long? I mean, man, at that point, I'd be like, nah, if I fuck that game, I don't want that game. Even when it comes out.
It's the people in charge. Like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, now, I think it was today or yesterday, they're blaming their staff on, like, the failure of a lot of these games.
Yeah, apparently Mario and Rabbids, Spark of Hope, underperformed, and so did Just Dance. I'm like, they sell as well as they sell every year. And Mario vs. Rabbids, they should have waited on that one. They waited too long to really release that one. They should have released that one not in November, but they should have waited until right when that damn Mario movie hit and just released it then. This way it seems like, you know, oh shoot, there's a Mario movie and another movie. Yeah. And so will the rest of that damn merchandise since we're starting to roll out for that movie.
Yeah. At this point, like, I understand, like, they're upset with all that, but they released like a lot of games that no one really asked for. And nobody will, like, you should lower your expectations on the rabbit games. I'm sorry. Same with the dance ones.
Well, so the Just Dance games have always sold well. This last year, they did something different, which they honestly, if they're going to do it this way, they should lower the price instead of charging full price. What it is when you, like, if you go out to the store and you see Just Dance 2023 out there, you're going to get the case, but there's a code inside so you can download the game. It's no disc.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really getting the case and the code. And if they're going to do that, they need to lower the price instead of charging the full, you know, $60, which, I mean, yeah, it's $60 for like, for all systems, but still you're not giving a disc or anything. And then you're still charging for their big subscription that they do with the Just Dance Unlimited, which gives you access to all the songs from every game or almost every game. And then the Mario and Rabbids one, it was a continuation of a game that was really well received, but they changed up the gameplay a little bit, so it wasn't like XCOM again.
Hmm. I mean, what they should just do is just, you know, remake Splinter Cell, because that's what everyone's been wanting for years now.
They actually are.
Make Rainbow Six Siege 2 for next gen.
Hmm.
And put Far Cry away, because, I mean, that's selling less and less and less.
Yeah, every game is selling less and less. But they are doing a remake of Splinter Cell right now, actually. I don't know if it's going to be out this year or not, but when they did their Splinter Cell retrospective last year, I think it was, they showed an update on it. It looked good. It looks really, really good. They took elements from all the past games and took that original game and they're repackaging it for next gen consoles, or current gen, I guess I could say. So for PS5 and you know, like Xbox Series X, they're gonna take full capabilities of their situation there. So I'm excited for that game to come out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they need. They should focus on games that they know are gonna sell well if they either reboot it or make a sequel with Rainbow Six Siege 2, because, I mean, it's been almost 8 years now since its original release. Like, there needs to be a sequel now.
Yeah. And for God's sakes, Ubisoft, you're listening, do not pull a goddamn Overwatch 2 and just release a sequel over the first game. No, give us something brand new.
And, you know, I'd like to see a reboot of Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. Those games are really good.
Hell yeah. I mean, Scott Mitchell hasn't been in a goddamn game since then. Because he was the original person he followed. At least in that game.
And that'll be it.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we're going to start winding this thing down, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing else.
Like, I wasn't sure if we were running over or not. Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining our show tonight. And as always, thanks for listening. We do this job for you guys. We love it. And your support helps us do this every week. So, I mean, I'm going to toss this over real quick to Phantom Recon for some parting words.
Well, as always, thank you for everybody for listening and checking us out on social media and everything. I do want to let you know that we've been updating our YouTube page a little bit more. Updating the thumbnails and trying to make it a bit more attractive for everyone. So check it out. And I'm hoping that in the future we can start maybe possibly doing some more shorts, YouTube shorts as well. So keep a lookout on that. And as always, thank y'all for listening. We love y'all. And I'll pass it on to my brother Nando, a.k.a. Shadow Alchemist.
First off, sorry I haven't been streaming. I've been sick the past couple weeks or even 3 weeks. But now I'm better. So I should be back on this weekend with the live streaming once again. And as always, the violence is Thomas El Agua.
All right, well, if you go over to Jermaine.
That's pretty good, man. Appreciate y'all always letting me come back and stuff, talk about this stuff going on.
All right. So, and as always, I'm Butter Biscuits. Be sure to follow us on all the social media pages. I guess all that's left to say is, we're the Unsung Gamers, and we're saving the world one game at a time.
Bye.